and welcome you all to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, Sri Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra, Sri Sri Gaurini Thai, and His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. This is a very sacred occasion, because we have gathered to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, which is the most auspicious activity that anyone can perform. Previously, the world was ruled by an emperor who had his base or his capital in India, in Hastinapur. The emperor was different from our experience of emperors and monarchs in more recent times. As Srila Prabhupada says, the business of the kings in recent times is to spend money on wine and women. But that was not the principle of the kings who ruled from Hastinapur. They were Rajarshis. They were kings and at the same time saintly persons. So one of the kings was Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was the illustrious successor of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He ruled only for the welfare of the people. He had no personal desires or ambitions. But by the arrangement of the Lord, one day when the king was in the jungle, he came to the hermitage of a sage. The sage was deep in meditation. And again, by the arrangement of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit felt very thirsty. And Vedic hospitality dictates that if someone comes to your home, what to speak of the king, anyone, even a stranger from the street, you welcome him with sweet words, you give him a place to sit, you give him some water to drink, at least, and you give him some prasad to eat. So, Maharaj Parikshit expected some reception by the sage, but because the sage was in such deep meditation, he wasn't even aware that the king was there. But again, by the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit became agitated, which was unexpected for a Mahabhagavata, and in anger, because he wasn't properly received and he wasn't offered even a glass of water. So he saw a dead snake lying there, and he put the snake around the neck of the sage and left. Soon thereafter, the king's son, the sage's son, Sringi, understood what had happened, and he cursed the king to die by the bite of a snake. And Brahmins had such power. Even though Sringi was only 12 years old, still he had that rabbinical power to curse someone. King Parikshit, as a great devotee, Mahabhagavata, could have counteracted the curse, but he took it as the will of the Lord. He didn't make any effort to counteract the curse, but he accepted it as the will of the Lord. So he left his kingdom and went to the banks of the Ganges to fast until death. And because he was a Rajarshi, not only the emperor of the world, but also a great saintly person in his own right, so many sages and saintly persons assembled at the banks of the Ganges. But among them, the foremost was Shukadeva Goswami. And Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami some very important questions. And those questions and answers comprise Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as the Bhagavad Gita is questions and answers between Arjuna and Krishna, so Srimad Bhagavatam is essentially questions and answers between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature, Nigama Kalpata or Kalitam Phala. It is the ripened fruit, and it is juicy, it is full of rus. And how do we get the fruit? Our acharyas explain, they give the example of a mango tree. How does one get fruit from a mango tree? Well, the traditional system is that the boys, they climb up on the branches of the tree, and one will climb up to the top, he'll take the fruit from the top and hand it down to a boy on the next branch. He'll hand it to a boy on the next branch, he'll hand it to a boy on the next branch. That way they'll hand it down from one branch to the other until it reaches the boy on the ground. And in that way it reaches in the same condition, same perfect condition, as it was at the top of the tree. If we stand on the ground and try to throw stones to make it fall down, it could get bruised, it could get broken. But this way, it's handed down, and it reaches the ground intact. So in the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature, is handed down from guru to disciple, guru to disciple, in an unbroken chain, that is parampara. And thus that fruit, which is so delicious and juicy, reaches us in the same condition, in the same perfect condition as it was when it was at the top of the tree. In other words, when it was originally uttered. So, here we have Maharaj Parikshit. He has 7 days to live. If you were told you had 7 days to live, how would you spend your time? What questions would you ask? Maharaj Parikshit asked the most intelligent question. Hare Krishna. We have to have silence in here. Our whole process is based on sound, hearing sound. So Maharaj Parikshit asked, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? That was a very good question. And Shukadeva Goswami replied that one who wants to be fearless at the time of death should hear, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Now, Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live. We might think, well, if I had 7 days to live, I could do that. But now I have other things to do. But Srila Prabhupada remarks that yes, Maharaj Parikshit knew he had 7 days to live. But we don't know if we have even 7 minutes. We don't know. So many people in Bombay, it's just an example, so many people in Bombay, in the prime of their life, suddenly finished. So we don't know how long we have. And therefore we should be very conscious of how we use our time. After giving this answer, Shukadeva Goswami says that by rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is shortened, except for one engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. That sounds like a paradox. But the explanation is that yes, every time the sun rises and sets, we are closer to the time of death. But devotees who utilize the duration of their life to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, they come closer to eternal life. When they leave their bodies, they're entering the spiritual abode of Krishna. So they're not getting closer to death, they're getting closer to eternal life. But the duration of our life is all we have. Srila Prabhupada used to quote Chanakya Pandit, the great moral philosopher, that at the time of death, even if you're willing to spend millions and billions of dollars, you cannot extend your life for one moment. That means that each moment in our life is worth more than millions and billions of dollars, because we can't purchase even one moment for all the money in the world. So we should be conscious of how valuable the time of our life is and use it for the best purpose, which is to hear and chant about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay, a businessman, and he told that person, because he knew the man, and actually that man was really into accounts. Once I went to his office in downtown Bombay, there were so many accountants, and he was telling me about different ways that entrepreneurs deal with their accountants and how he dealt with his accountants. So Srila Prabhupada said, you take your life at the ledger of your life, and any time spent in Krishna consciousness is profit, and any time spent outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So every businessman, he wants to maximize his profits and minimize his losses. So we should be aware of how valuable our time is and use it to chant and hear about Krishna. And how exactly do we do that? What is the best way to do that? And here Shukadeva Goswami spoke a very important verse, very important verse. He said that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless method of success for all, including those who are full of material desires, those who desire liberation, and those who are self-satisfied. In other words, everyone. One category has material desires. Most people have material desires. For them, the chanting of the holy name is the doubtless and fearless way to success. Then there are some, they want to be liberated from the material world. They see that the material world is full of suffering, full of pain, full of sorrow. So they think, let me get out of this world of birth and death. For them too, the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the supreme method. And for those who are self-satisfied means they don't want material things, and they don't want liberation from material life. In other words, devotees. Everyone either wants to enjoy the material world or escape the material world. The only people who are satisfied are the devotees. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Ashanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta. That those who desire material enjoyment, those who desire liberation, those who desire mystic perfections, none of them is peaceful because they all have some selfish desire. Only the devotees of the Lord have no selfish desires, and therefore they are peaceful. So they are the self-satisfied. So chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the way of success for all categories of people. So now we know. We have to chant the holy name. Not we have to, but an intelligent person will understand it's the best thing you can do. And how do we chant the holy name? Well, the acharyas, commenting on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, have cited the Padma Purana, that there are 10 offenses. In fact, I should have mentioned that within the verse, Shukadeva Goswami says that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord following the ways of authorities is a doubtless and fearless method of success for all. So what does it mean, following the ways of the authorities? It means specifically avoiding the 10 offenses. So when we recently celebrated a japa weekend here in San Diego, during which we discussed how to chant the holy names of the Lord. One might think, well, it's so easy to chant. I mean, you just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is there to say for 2 days about it? And that's just the Japa weekend. We also have Japa retreats where we talk about chanting for 4 days, level one. And there's level two, we talk about chanting for 5 days. And then there's level three, we talk about chanting for 8 days. So what do we talk about for 2 days or 4 days or 8 days? What's there to talk about? Well, there's a lot to talk about. In fact, we never have enough time to say everything that we want to say. And we don't have enough time to practice chanting together as we would want. So that is the meaning of following in the ways of the authorities. It's a great science to chant. And it's the fundamental practice in Kali Yuga. We all know Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stavana, Stavana, Stavana. One should chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other way, no other way, no other way for success in the present age of Kali. So, what are these offenses? Why do we have to avoid the offenses when we chant? Why can't we just chant? Well, the holy name is Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. So chanting the holy name really means reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is a person. We're not impersonalists here. Our goal is not to merge and become one with God. Or, you know, like the impersonalists in India say, you know, the real truth of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is in the space between the words. that is not our position. That's not our position. That's not our experience. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna, and our goal is Krishna, the person, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And the holy name of Krishna and the person Krishna are the same. There's no difference. On the Absolute platform, there's no difference. Because we're conditioned, we see a difference. Even if we chant with offenses, we see a difference. But on the Absolute platform, there's no difference between the name Krishna and the person Krishna. In the material world, if you're thirsty and you chant water, 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 just chanting water, water won't quench your thirst. Because the word water and the substance water are different. But in the Absolute realm, if you chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present, dancing on your toe. So it's Krishna. Krishna is a person. And therefore, we must be attentive when we chant. Being inattentive is an offense. It's like if Krishna were to come personally and you didn't receive him, you didn't welcome him, you didn't give your entire being to his presence, it would be offensive. Even an ordinary person, you know, if you went to a friend's house and he didn't, you know, greet you or receive you properly, you could feel offended. Well, Krishna's a person. We're chanting his name means we're invoking his presence. So if Krishna is coming in person, we have to receive him with our whole being. We should have no other thought in our mind other than Krishna. And of course we're calling Krishna. Krishna's coming. And when we call someone, they may respond, yes, what is it that you want? It's natural, someone calls you, yes, yes, what do you want? So what are we going to say? What do we want? Are we going to say we want wealth? You know, so many things. Is that what we're going to say? We want money. We want followers. We want a beautiful wife or handsome husband. Or what are we going to ask for? We're going to say we want liberation. That's want to merge into you. That what we're going to say? No. We're going to say, we want to serve you. That's all. So the Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer to Krishna. Hare means Radha, and Krishna means Krishna. So Hare Krishna means, O Krishna, O Radharani, please engage me in your service. And we should be attentive. We should be attentive because he may give us some service. And we give us some service, so we should be alert and attentive. Yes, whatever you tell me, I will do. And when they give us the service, we should execute it with our full being. So that is chanting. Chanting with attention. And when we chant in that way, Krishna reveals himself. The holy name reveals himself and fulfills all of our desires. Another offense is to not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding some instruction. Krishna's coming. So if we have faith in Krishna, then we'll understand Krishna has come. What more do I want? What more could I ask? Krishna has come. But if we don't really have faith in Krishna, we'll think, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. So it's a great science, chanting the holy name. It's a great art. And it is said that the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to glorify the holy name of Krishna. From the very beginning, when Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? The answer is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so much glorification of the holy name, especially in the sixth canto, which is the middle, the sixth canto, the story of Arjuna. It's all about the glorification of the holy name of the Lord. And the very last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Nama Sankirtana Yasya, the very last verse, glorifies Krishna, whose holy name eradicates all sinful activities. So this is the ripened fruit, the juicy, ripe, delicious fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And its ultimate purpose is to glorify the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is how we should use our time. Chant attentively, following the ways of the authorities, and to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. These are the main processes. And Srila Prabhupada was happy that people called us the Hare Krishnas. Yeah. Said it's good they call us the Hare Krishnas, because at least they're chanting the holy name of Krishna. And he also considered his life work to be the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two gifts of Srila Prabhupada's, of the whole parampara, of Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya, we should accept with gratitude, with appreciation, and we should use this valuable time in this valuable human form of life, in this most extraordinary good fortune of coming in touch with devotees of the Lord, followers of Srila Prabhupada, coming in the line of Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. We should not waste time. I remember one talk in Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada said, don't waste time. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't speak nonsense. Good advice. Hare Krishna. So, our esteemed temple president has given us until 7-ish, so we have about 7-ish minutes. So, would anyone like to ask a question? Oh, Mahatattva Prabhu.
You advise that we don't waste time because we can't get it back. But we got tons of it in your philosophy. You eternal, time is eternal.
Mahatattva Prabhu, playing the devil's advocate. He says that you know, the soul is eternal, time is eternal, so what's the big thing about using the time we have? Well, the big thing is that we have a human form of life. Living beings and other species do not have the same opportunity to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Even the demigods on the higher planets do not have such facility as we have to chant the holy name for one lifetime. 80 years, 60 years, whatever we have. They don't have that facility. In fact, it's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the demigods glorify birth on earth in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain all success. So this is a most special opportunity we have. And there's no guarantee that we'll get this opportunity in the next life if we misuse the opportunity in this life. Of course, that question is asked from the point of view of someone who doesn't know the value of Krishna consciousness, the value of the holy name. If I were to tell you, there's a briefcase outside the door with $1 million in it, all you have to do is go and get it, would you say, well, look, I'm eternal. Time is eternal. If I don't get $1 million now, I'll get it somewhere in eternity. Well, there's $1 million. You wouldn't even say, I'll be back in a minute. You would be gone. And you'd want to get it while it's there. So we should appreciate this is worth more than millions, more than billions. Yes. We can engage them in chanting, but we can't speak to them about the glories because they won't believe it. They'll think we're exaggerating, or they'll think we're an illusion, that they'll think so many things. But as far as Krishna, we begin on the basis of the Bhagavad Gita on the basis of philosophy or not the body, logic and reason. There's two approaches. One is that you're not the body, you're spirit, and come to the point of the Supreme Spirit. Or you can speak from the point of view that every conditioned soul has defects, four defects. And if we want perfect knowledge, we have to approach a perfect authority who's beyond the defects. Gradually, you have to bring them. Study the way Krishna presents the philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita. Study the way Srila Prabhupada preached. It takes time. It takes time. Yes, Dravida Prabhu.
Yes, I've read some of your books, and I seem to remember reading that Lord Shiva is not different from Krishna. So why isn't chanting Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya non-different from chanting Hare Krishna?
Well, the Bhagavad Gita says that one should speak this knowledge only to devotees. I think I misjudged the audience. Senior resident Ramachari, hello. Yes, Lord Shiva is the same as Vishnu, but at the same time he's different. Brahma Samhita gives the example of milk and yogurt. That milk is the same as yogurt. Yogurt is the same as milk in the sense that yogurt is a transformation of milk. But it's not the same. Because milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. So, Srila Prabhupada said that Shiva is almost Vishnu. But he's not Krishna. And our goal here is to develop love for Krishna. Now, it is also said, Vaishnava Namyata Shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. If we approach Shiva as a Vaishnava to help us to develop love for Krishna, Vaishnava means a devotee of Krishna, someone who accepts that Krishna is the Supreme and who follows the instructions of Krishna. So if we accept Shiva as a great devotee of Krishna, and we pray to him to help us in our service to Krishna, to help us to develop love for Krishna, that's acceptable. But if we mistakenly think that he's on the same level as Vishnu, or an independent god equal to Vishnu, that's an offense. That's an offense. Yes?
So, what are the Shivites doing?
What are the Shivites?
Like Siddha Yoga and the Shivites that are in the forest. Chanting Om Namah Shivaya. What are they doing then?
That's a very good question. You got to ask them, what are they doing? I think you mean, why are they doing it, or what are they getting from it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's two categories here. Those who are chanting the name of Lord Shiva to get something material, and those who are chanting the name of Lord Shiva to make spiritual advancement. The ones who are chanting the name of Lord Shiva, worshipping Lord Shiva to get material benefit, they'll get material benefit or not, depending on the quality of their worship. But the ones who are chanting the name of Lord Shiva, worshipping Lord Shiva for the sake of spiritual development, will be brought by Lord Shiva, guided by Lord Shiva to Krishna. And there are many examples. There's a don't have that much time. But there's one.
I'm an example.
You're an example. Hare Krishna. Please stand up. You are chanting the name of Lord Shiva for spiritual advancement. And Lord Shiva brought you here. This is a recipient of Lord Shiva's mercy and evidence of the truth of what I said.
And my real bossy girlfriend.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, last.
What is the best way to introduce Krishna to someone who has no idea or doesn't believe?
What is the best way to introduce Krishna to someone who doesn't know about Krishna or believe? Well, different people are attracted to different things, and we can present Krishna in various ways. You know, someone likes beautiful architecture, beautiful clothing, beautiful decorations. We can introduce them to the deity. Although it's hard for a new person to understand the deity. But the chanting, pretty much everyone likes to sing, hear nice music, maybe dance. And then prasad.
Yeah.
You feel there's a consensus here. I've struck a sympathetic chord.
Prabhupada's books.
Excellent. Perfect.
Somebody might come and say, you know, they're going to sit in here and listen to the song.
I might be thinking, well, I might be a Buddhist, or I might be a Christian, or I'm
Shivaite, you know, and I have this, you know, why should I have to say Krishna?
She says, someone may hear the talk and think, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a Shaivite, why should I chant the name of Krishna? Well, as long as you're chanting the name of the Supreme Lord, we don't mind. If you want to chant, you know, Jesus, Jesus, or Allah, Allah, we don't mind any name of the Supreme Lord. But if you're not chanting any other name, then you can chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
One question. Prabhupada ji and all the Vedic literature has taught us Krishna is the Supreme Personality. From him comes Balaram ji, and then Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh, and then the Narayanas, and then comes Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Shirodakshay Vishnu. And Krishna is the original candle or original source of all these Vishnu elements. In India, even with so much of literature available by Hare Krishna and Prabhupada ji, people think that Krishna is reincarnation of Vishnu rather than the Vishnu's. The fact is that everything else has come from Krishna. So if we are chanting Krishna's name or taking Vishnu, can we bring Krishna at a Vishnu level, which I personally think maybe his lower consciousness form? So is that an offense, or what people in India are thinking is an offense, or they are not thinking the right way? So what's the remedy, and how
Jiva Goswami, whom Srila Prabhupada said was the greatest philosopher of all time, he's given elaborate evidence that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And Srimad Bhagavatam says Krishna's true Bhagavan.
Yes.
But on the absolute platform, there's really no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. they're the same tattva. They're the same substance. And if someone chants the holy name of Vishnu, that's fine. That's fine. And Srila Jiva Goswami has said further that because Vishnu is the deity in charge of the material world, even when Krishna comes into the material world, he comes through Vishnu to respect Vishnu's position as the Lord of the material world. But there are many wonderful discussions on this subject. There's one between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhata. Venkatabhata was a devotee of Lord Narayan. He thought that Lord Narayan is supreme. And he had some talk with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced him. Because Lakshmi, the eternal consort of Narayan, it's mentioned in scripture that she performed austerities for many lifetimes to get the association of Krishna. And even then she couldn't get it. So there's no doubt that Krishna is the origin. And more than that, Krishna is the fullest manifestation of Godhead. We can have intimate relationships with Krishna that we can't have with Lord Narayan. With Lord Narayan, we can be servant, you know, give like passive adoration, shantaras, and active service, dasyaras, and some satyaras with reverence. But with Krishna, we can have very intimate relationship as a friend, as an equal, as a parent, as a parental figure, like a superior, as a girlfriend, a wife. So because of those intimate relationships that we can have with Krishna and not with Lord Narayan, devotees who are attracted to those relationships, they worship Krishna.
No, there is no denial that he is the supreme. But why people don't understand that? Why in India you can't make them understand that he is the supreme?
Because you haven't gone to India and preached strong enough. And you haven't to change that.
Sorry, let's give us some ease.